Shredder, right?
You did? Sweet, we'll ride together on the way up.
So are we going to be, hello, Morro Bay, and welcome to the February 17th, 2011 Public Works Advisory Board meeting. Please note, as we are down to three members, and Richard Rutherford and Matt Makowetsky are present tonight. Jenny Brantley has not made it. Just to let you know also that we will be looking for some more members to PWAB. So if you are interested, please call the
city clerk's office at 772-6200.
All right, that's there we go. All right. So next order of business is a moment of silence, please. All right. Item number three is acceptance of agenda. We have two members up here. Do we have a motion to? All right, so moved. All right, do we accept the agenda and announcements? Richard, do you have any announcements?
Well, I was surprised to see the letter of resignation from June, and I'd like to accept.
We accept her letter, but we will miss her dearly. And hopefully, if you're watching, June, thank you for all of your service. So that's caps it for announcements. Our next item is written communications. Please note that we have a letter from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. This letter originally was sent to the City Council with a list of various items for consideration. So those of you who are interested, you can go to the city offices and read that. It's very interesting. Okay, number four. Public comments or presentations. I don't see anybody waiting to make a presentation. We'll be talking about streets later, but that's not right now. Okay. Number seven, the consent. We need approval of minutes from our last meeting of November 17th.
So moved.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't take action on that since there's not a quorum present.
Good point. We do not have a quorum. That leads me to actually backstep to announcements. PWAB will now be going to a bi-monthly meeting. And so our next meeting after, we'll have to wait till our quorum, till we get a quorum. All right. On to number eight, director's report. Richard, do you have any commentary about the director?
No, I don't.
I do. All right. Where should we start? Let's start on page two. Rob, are you ready to talk about water? Try as you might.
Sure.
Okay. On the water category, down where we're talking about the desal plant. It says the newly installed treatment trains are being modified, used to do brackish and salt water. I understand that we have our desal plant, and we've been treating Morro Bay water. Why are we now? Is there a reason that we're going to start treating salt water as well?
It just gives us flexibility in how we operate our water system. We've always had, that's the desal plant was originally designed and constructed to treat seawater, run it through the desal plant, reverse osmosis, extract treatment system where we can draw water from our contaminated wells in the Morrow Creek aquifer and treat that water. That water can be treated at a much lower pressure, and it's much more energy efficient. But we can't get enough out of those wells to meet our total demand. So at some points in time, we may have to rely upon both the saltwater system and the brackish water system.
So then it's more of a preemptive thing, because we're still with state water, we're meeting our needs, but we're just putting that in place in case.
Give us flexibility. Yes.
Got it. Okay, no problem. Then next item underneath that, water system operator. Is this a time that we want to announce that job opening?
That job opening actually has been filled, so we would not announce that job opening.
All right, and moving on to page number three. I had a question about, we're talking about the collection system now, on the last item, collection systems. And I know for some time that I've been...
I would guess that we probably still have a couple more years before we get everything videoed. Even when we get everything videoed, we're not done. It's sort of a systematic. We'll need to keep updating refreshing those videos on a periodic basis. So every 5 years, we may want to look at revideoing the city. So we're doing it kind of area by area. I believe it's 7 areas in the city that we're working on. So, and then as we video, we then evaluate the videos and put those repairs out for bid for contract. Right now, I believe they're doing Area 2 repairs. So we've done Area 1 repairs last year, Area 2 repairs this year. So we probably have a couple more years before we complete the city and get all those root intrusion type repairs, cracked pipe, done.
All right, so it's a fairly labor-intensive situation. You have to video it, then we have to pay somebody to
Index to a GIS map database, so you can click on a section of pipe and pull up the video for that section of pipe, evaluate that video, and as years go by and we establish this multiple videos, we'll be able to track the history of sections of sewer line.
Okay, so then as that database is built up with that index, then it doesn't necessarily become so cumbersome.
Right, to find exactly.
It. You can just street index GPS.
Exactly.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, can a member of the public come to Public Works and say they're having an issue with, and they want to see their whole street video in time? Will someone be able to do that?
In time, will be made available at a computer at the front counter.
Okay, cool. All right, right on.
It's already started to help with the public. A lot of times, somebody needs to know where their lateral is to do a lateral repair. Now we have as-built drawings, mainly from much of the sewer system in town was put in 54. And so they're quite dated as-built drawings. And so we refer to those. That lateral, sometimes we get a good shot of the inside of their lateral, too.
So those folks out in Morro Bay, you're going to do some construction. If you want to see your laterals, go down to the and look at those videos if possible. All right. Next question is for Barry about the about talking about streets and North Main bike lanes, specifically the part there at the corner of 41 and Main Street. When are we thinking about getting that started?
Yeah, we just got three bids, and we've decided to award that little piece to Ferravanti, and we're just getting ready to do that contract early next week, so it should be done within the next few weeks. It's only going to take one, at the most, 2 days to do.
Is it going to go up Main Street and back down 41 a little bit to make it wider there for bikes?
Just Main Street and just around that little corner to make it safer for pedestrians there.
Could you explain, if I'm thinking of Main Street in my head right now, going south, where will it be? On the west side or the east side?
On the west side, right turn lane.
Mm-hmm.
Going south on Main Street, right turn
lane. Oh, yeah, you're right, because it is kind of narrow there.
Yeah.
Because where they put the bike lane down. Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, well, that'll be interesting. Okay, and then my next question was for Rob, talking about the next item down from the bike lane, stormwater. And I see we got a notice of violation, but our violation was because we didn't submit our report on time?
Yes, we were 3 weeks late in submitting our last annual report. And the board wants some more explanation on our measurement of effectiveness. One example was we distributed some literature to on stormwater, and they want to know how we measure the effectiveness of those brochures that went out to the public. And we're struggling with that, how you measure the effectiveness of public education. It's not easy to quantify in tons of less tons of pollutants. We measured that effectiveness by stating how many brochures that we distributed.
You have that time, do you?
Yeah, we have that time. They could add that as a measure for next year's annual report.
Okay.
To make sure that we address those items.
And my next question, well, actually, I already announced it in announcements, talking about the public understanding that we are now going to be meeting the third Thursday of every month. February, April, June, August, October, December, and that we have two vacancies. That does it for my questions. Richard, did you think of anything? Okay. All right, moving on to new business. We don't have a quorum, and so we can't do election of chair or vice chair. So we go on to letter B, presentation of the pavement management plan. So, gentlemen, it's all you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like you said, this is a presentation of the pavement management plan that staff has prepared for the city street system. This work was done. We did the field work over the last couple of years with the help of an intern who's gone for this project. And then Mr. Barry Rand, sitting next to me, he did a lot of the data analysis with the pavement management software and was the prime author of the report. I'm just going to go through the report and highlight various areas.
Would you like questions at any time, Rob? Or do you
questions at any time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The pavement management plan consists of, a lot of us like to think of it as, this nice piece of computer software that tells us exactly what to do, but is more than that. It sets up a structure on the way to most cost-effectively maintain the city's infrastructure. And the city has about 54 miles of streets in its street system with a asset value of about $40 million for that asset. So it's not an inconsequential asset that we're talking about here.
Now, that $40 million is, as I was reading it, you're talking about that's the cost if we were going to replace or redo all the roads.
Correct.
Okay. In Morro Bay. Okay.
The maintenance of the street system and develop policy pavement management policy guidelines, and then also develop a 10-year budgetary plan for the city street system.
If I can interrupt again, this is for Rob or Barry. When this, I guess it's this is the draft I see written everywhere, and so it's going to be done when, and then can a regular citizen just come into the office and ask to see their part of town where their street might be on the list? Is that what you foresee?
Yes, we'll get to that. There's a list of 5-year program for depending on our budgetary constraints where their street. Unfortunately, their street could not be on the list for quite some time. So
I noticed that too. So I'm just kind of, I was reading it, I'm like anticipating what a. Because as people see PWAB on the TV, I get questions around town. Hey, when's my street? And I'm like, well, they're going to have this, you know, pavement management index, and so that's why I'm asking. They're theoretically going to be able to go in, and then I guess they're going to ask you the question.
Yes.
When's my street going to
be done? And the pavement management is a pavement preservation, so you keep the best. The most effective use of your pavement management dollars is to preserve the best pavement. And
so that might be a bitter pill for some of Morro Bay to accept.
That may be a bitter pill, but it is very expensive, especially at the north end of town, to do that work, because many of those streets were never actually really constructed as streets. So they... many of those streets require wholesale reconstruction. We can't just throw a Band-Aid overlay over the top of them and expect them to give us the 20-year life. Now, we'll continue to have some component of our pavement maintenance system where we'll continue to do potholing, you know, our regular crack sealing, potholing, street maintenance, even on those worst streets to keep them passable. But the worst streets may not receive treatment for quite some time based on this scenario.
No, I know, and I'm sorry to kind of get you. I don't know if you wanted to talk like that until later.
But that's fine. It's okay. It's a, you know. A little bit about not too much about pavement design. A street pavement is basically designed as a beam, like you would see a beam in your house, basically a horizontal member that supports a load. The difference between a beam as a street and a beam in your house is the beam in your house doesn't normally take varying loadings. So there's usually you don't have a truck driving across your house very often, whereas the streets are designed to take that varying load. And a street will take so many trips across it before you can expect failure. And we basically design the streets to last 20 years. Now, there's a 50% failure ratio, so half the streets will last less than 20 years, and half the streets will last more than 20 years, because we can't exactly project how many. It's also the aging of the asphalt concrete that causes failure. The it loses the bituminous material, the liquid asphalt out of it, dries out, cracks. Then fatigue will set in, because as the asphalt cracks, moisture can get down below the surface, saturate the subgrade or the material below the street, and as you you get those cyclic loads on top of it, those trips, those driving across it, that's really what causes a pothole to develop, is a little bit of cracking, a little bit of water, some driving on it, and pretty soon you lose your car or your bike into that pothole. We've described various types of failures that you'll see And we've all seen those. In fact, up on the screen, you can see some what's called alligator cracking there, because it kind of looks like alligator scales, the way it cracks. But there's, you know, depressions, edge cracking, utility cut failure, shoving, and we experience a lot of shoving here in Morro Bay, especially those streets on the north end of town. As a garbage truck is going down the street, hits its brakes, stops, it is actually pushing that pavement, and you can see that very readily in the streets if Ironwood was at about the 2500 block. I remember a couple years ago there was a dip and then a hump in front of it. It's somebody set their garbage can out the same spot every week, and as the truck stopped, it would push that pavement and finally develop that ridge. That has since been, that pothole has been repaired.
No, there's a great one on Bonita that's just a perfect example. And maybe next time we do this, we can take a picture of that to use.
And then we go on to discuss various pavement management procedures, from crack sealing digouts to more larger scale pavement management techniques, slurry seals and microsurfacing. Example of microsurfacing or slurry seal is what was done on the section of Main Street between that surface hadn't started to fail yet, but it's a good idea to seal it so you don't have those aging effects with the street.
So that particular section is more of your example of preventative maintenance. We intend to use this PMI in the next 10 years to do.
Yes.
Okay. If I could, Rob, could you go back to page number 2, please?
Sure.
For me, this was very illustrative. We're talking about the street categories, the arterial collector, local commercial, and the number of miles, and then their PCI. I know you haven't necessarily talked about PCI yet, but and I know later on in this document you talk about how North Morro Bay, for the its historical fact, has pretty dilapidated streets. But I think it would be really interesting to talk about for regular Morro Bay to understand that we're talking about establishing a PMI of 70 for the city, but hardly any of the city really has that 70 anywhere.
Correct.
So shooting up, but then I thought it was really good for me to read that. Well, it was bad because I live in the north part of town, so my streets really aren't very good. But to understand the different grades that
our city, we have classified it into four basic classifications. We have arterial streets, which would be, we have a couple examples of those in town. Main Street is an arterial street, and South Bay Boulevard are arterial streets. They take the most traffic in town. Then we have collector streets. Those feed into the arterials. So it's much like a circulation system and going from capillaries to arteries. So those collectors are streets like Avalon and Ironwood and Beachcomber, Kern, Piney, Morro Bay Boulevard. Those would be collector streets. And then you have your local streets, and those are classified into both local residential, which are the vast majority of our streets, 36.2 miles of streets. And I noticed that we have a slight discrepancy between our street mileage, 61.3 and 53, so we'll have to verify that.
Well, also, I think it might be either a further typo or I'm not going to doubt the addition, but I know later on we talk about having 54 miles of street.
Local commercial streets might be like Market or Morro in the downtown area. Pieces of Quintana would be commercial streets.
And for those of you out in Morro Bay, the arterial and the collector streets, they're going to have a large or a higher PCI right now because they've been worked on more recently, yes?
Yes.
And then also, is it the city's focus in terms of public works that to maintain those streets simply because of the volume of traffic?
And the funding available. We participate in the federal highway system, and those streets that are designated as FAU routes, and I use that acronym all the time, and it's escaping me what it stands for. I apologize for that. But it's a designation of which streets are eligible for state and federal dollars. And those are streets like Morro Bay Boulevard, Main, Avalon, Ironwood. Those collector and arterial streets are eligible for a higher level of funding. Local streets are typically funded by local dollars. There's various types of pavement management strategies, all the way up from seals to overlays to complete reconstruction of streets, where you dig it up and you rebuild it.
And is there a correlating formula? As a street gets a PCI, it will qualify for certain treatment?
Yes. Generally, the lower the PCI, the higher level of treatment it takes. So, you know, where a PCI of maybe 65 or something would be eligible for a slurry seal, and a PCI of, you know, 50, you might want a overlay, and then a PCI of, well, I know PCI of 10 or 20 is a, yeah, we need to completely reconstruct those streets. If you were to plot, we don't have a graphic for this, and maybe it'd be good to get one next time we do this presentation. Plot PCI versus cost or versus time. You can see that once you get past a PCI of about 65, as you're going down the PCI scale, fairly deteriorated street, it doesn't get much worse over the short term.
And I don't know if this is the right time, I mean, since we're talking about that, as we talk about our pavement management plan, we come up with a PCI, and someone in town, especially as it's identified in the plan, saying our poorest streets on the north end of town, knowing that the funding is not there, what do you foresee or can you see as your comment to members of the public who might say, hey, what about us?
Well, that decision will be ultimately made by city council, but I would still recommend to follow a pavement preservation strategy and preserve the best pavement. We would also seek additional funding beyond our local funding. In the term of grants, we talk a little bit about in here about a green streets program. Anything that incorporates LID into your project may be eligible for a higher level of grant funding. So, in fact, right now we're working with the regional board with a lot of folks, is our local regional transportation agency, which is SLOCOG, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. They're the overall transportation planning agency for the county. They are just starting to do work on a survey for a local funding program. For example, Santa Barbara County, I think, has a additional half-cent sales tax countywide that is dedicated to transportation, and each of the cities in Santa Barbara County get a portion of that money. A portion of that money goes for large interregional projects that would be more competitive, but a lot of that money is formula based that goes directly back into those communities. And you can see it in the Santa Barbara County roads. They have a regular maintenance that they go through on pretty much all of their roads, especially in the highly urbanized areas. I'm mainly familiar with the Orchid area, goes through a regular period of pavement maintenance. management software. It was a piece of software developed by the Army Corps of Engineers I think it was developed for runway construction and evaluating all the military runways. But it has since been adopted by many agencies as a database for evaluating and systematically prioritizing city, state, county roads. There are other systems that you can use from as simple as a kind of a sheet of paper and driving around your local agency and developing lists. That's been done in Morro Bay in the past. A lot of agencies use just a spreadsheet program, and they have a list of all their streets on a spreadsheet and use that to track their pavement management. This is a fairly cost-effective tool kind of mechanize that, and so we don't really have the resources to do a lot of windshield surveys.
But as I read it, Randy Hill, our Cal Poly our intern, pretty much
he walked every street.
So I want to point that out is to let people know
walking around town and doing a good job about evaluating those streets. And then we also did some quality assurance on a sampling of those streets to make sure that he had done those correctly. So we enter the data into the computer, and get these results out of it. And now I'm going to go through some of our priorities that we want to address with this. 14.
Page 14.
Bottom 14. A goal would be to maintain a PCI index, pavement condition index, of 70 or higher. Now, if you know, pavement condition runs from 0 to 100. In college, I didn't strive for a 70 most of the time. I tried to shoot a little bit higher. But unfortunately, with physical constraints, we're gonna shoot for that C here in Morro Bay. And most agencies do shoot for that C.
Well, I think we've all heard.
Now, that can't happen overnight. This is a long-term plan. Giving priority to more heavily traveled streets. So those arterials and collectors that take a lot more traffic than a local street will get priority. Do preventative maintenance. Do pothole patching, dig outs, crack sealing before we go through and do our other pavement preservation techniques. And the streets that have fallen below the 55 will use basically maintenance techniques to keep those safe and passable, but realizing that they need to be scheduled for reconstruction, and pavement preservation techniques aren't going to work on those streets. Into the program, we put unit costs in there based on, I've already talked about how we did our visual evaluations. We will have to maintain this pavement management system, so periodically, usually on a five-year basis, you go back through and reevaluate the pavement conditions and update your model. We touched on this a little bit earlier from the executive summary, where we've summarized the city street system, about 53.4 miles of roadways, about 8 million square feet of pavement, and a replacement value of about $40 million to replace all those streets.
For the citywide, we have an average pavement condition of 63. I think our worst streets are probably in the low teens or tens. I'm thinking Panorama would be one of those lowest streets, to give you an example of what a low. Ponderosa is another fairly low street, bring that life to that that street. So you have that higher PCI. Most of our streets are local streets, the vast majority, probably 62% of the system is local streets.
Well, one thing I'm duly impressed with Randy walking all of these, but just to let, and I think it'd be too hard to see up on the projector, but just to let you know, everybody out there watching or listening, or when you do watch this, is that you guys did a decent job of breaking it down and then giving an average PCI of each area. And so, although it's not good news for every part of town, I thought it looked pretty comprehensive to me.
Yeah, so if you look at moving forward, we might, as we move into our pavement management plan, we could rotate various districts and do work. This would be the San Luis Obispo example. They have 8 pavement
members. Sure. I'm going ahead to when you talk about the plan later on.
Yeah.
When you talk about, because I think we're about 5 years. Is that what it is, Barry? At the end of this, talking about
those 5-year plans.
Yes.
In the back. Yeah, those are 5-year plans, and then the idea would be to have another 5-year plan at the end of that, reevaluation of the entire street system.
Okay. So is this still a draft plan? So these 5 years, is this set in stone? And the reason I say that, going back to should or could, because knowing that some parts of town, the streets are better simply because they're arterial or more higher used than other parts of town, and they've been updated more recently, is that why they're on the first 5 years in terms of the level of upkeep, in terms of if we were going to go, Rob, to a more revolving schedule of different aspects of town, was there a rhyme? What's the, I guess, maybe cut to the chase, the rhyme or reason of setting up these 5-year plans?
Like I said, pavement preservation is the key. So preserving the best first. And those streets with the lower PCIs, a slurry seal on it, it just would be just throwing your money away. You need to reconstruct that street. So basically you take all the pavement off of it, reconstruct the base, and then repave the entire street. Very expensive process.
No, I guess the reason I'm kind of belaboring the point is I'm anticipating, you know, folks, you know, asking you or, you know, seeing me or, you know, someone and saying, how come my street, and saying, well, your PCI isn't low enough. And that's a bitter pill, especially for someone on Greenwood or one of those more residential streets that gets a lot of traffic that is getting beat up. And so just I'm trying to get to talk about it so people can maybe understand that point a little bit.
Yeah.
More.
So as you've noted, and maybe we could switch to the slide that thank you, Noah. You switch to the next slide. Gives a PCI map around town. So the blue is the best condition, and the red is the worst condition. So the blue
documentation, when Morro Bay was coming up back in the 40s and 50s, and the north part of town wasn't necessarily done right, is what you were saying, that maybe those streets deteriorated to the point they are now?
Yes, they were never really constructed as streets. They're county Red Rock roads that had a chip seal, basically a slurry overlay done 60s, 70s-ish, and then a asphalt overlay maybe in the early 80s. And I think for many of those residential streets, that was the last time they were touched.
And then jumping forward, looking at South Morro Bay there, there's a lot of green, not too much red, and that is just because in terms of the master plan or maybe the civic planning back in the day, they did those streets a little bit better, and that's why those streets have lasted a little bit
longer. They were probably constructed originally, plus the underlying soil is better in the south end of town. It's more sandy soil. The north end of town contains a lot of clays, which is not good to build roads over the top of, is the heavy clay soils. You get a lot of expansion and contraction with it, and a lot of moving.
Thank you.
Some of the recommendations have gone over these briefly before, but like I said, to achieve that 70 PCI for all the streets, to keep the pavement micropaver database updated, and to use new technologies wherever possible in pavement design to go for the best bang for the buck, so to speak, like this microsurfacing technique that we used on that section of North Main where it adds fine aggregate to the slurry seal that gives a little bit better wearing course. Keep a regular street sealing program going, an effective potholing program, crack sealing, keep the moisture. The next go through these slides.
Now, are you, when you mention these possible programs, is this kind of a wish list in terms of our pavement management plan that we'd like to put in place? And
being the reconstruction, as you go down the scale towards blue, where you have the more less expensive treatments that you can do on those streets. So if you look at the north end, it's mainly reconstruction and overlays that are required in the north end with, as you know, we've continued to state, the more pavement preservation techniques in the south end. There's a few sections that need reconstruction. That section of South Bay Boulevard that's between Quintana and the freeway, although it's in Caltrans right-of-way, we have a maintenance. While it's in the Caltrans right-of-way, we have a maintenance agreement to maintain that street. And I think
does our maintenance agreement go up to the Bayshore home there underneath the overpass?
Not with Caltrans, no, but we maintain all of South Bay from the city limits to Teresa Drive, which is the private road that goes to the convalescent home. So
we maintain
the quarry area where the turnout is there. Some of the other programmatic goals would be to create a green streets program to leverage some of those grant funding that's available for LID type projects.
And those are grants that your office, as you guys find time, given your work schedule,
we would pursue that grant funding. In fact, we're pursuing a planning grant. The graphic that Councilman Smuckler just switched to now is kind of gives that that graph that I was talking about earlier, where the pavement condition as far as time goes, and so as you can see, it's kind of flat for a while and drops off really steeply at about you know, 10 years of life if you don't do pavement preservation. And that we maintain and upgrade and install the peripheral features along with streets. The sidewalks need to be maintained. The ADA curb ramps, we need to maintain that path of travel. If we do construction that is greater than 3/4 of an inch of overlay, that's considered a significant project in terms of ADA, and we need to also upgrade those pedestrian components when we do that. So as we budget for our street repairs, we also have to budget for those features that other users besides drivers use. We should also look at modifying our trench cut standards. So if a utility needs to cut a trench across the street that has recently been paved, they either need to find a different way through boring, or they need to go through more rigorous repair when they repair that trench. Coordinating with other departments and other utilities to make sure that, for example, we're not paving a street that's going to be dug up by the water division to replace a water line in 6 months. More with our bicycle and pedestrian plan that is our next priority after we complete the pavement management plan. To make sure that everybody's informed before we do street work, residents, fire, police department, they know well ahead of time before we're doing these street maintenance activities, because we may have to make other arrangements to get in and out of your neighborhood. I know that that was, even with the best notification, there was a few people upset on Main Street when they would see that big paving machine coming down Main Street and didn't really know how to get to their property. If we look to the appendix, as one of the other, this slide that's up there right now, it identifies about $14 million in pavement repairs. And for the viewers at home, the slide that you're seeing, again, the red is the more expensive, very expensive to do. We've developed a various scenarios based on different budgetary amounts. $900,000 would be a optimal but annual budget for the city street systems, and we could basically target a lot of those streets. As you can see, with that $900,000 street dollar a year, which streets would be worked on that first year?
I have a question. How realistic is it to have $900,000?
It's completely unrealistic given today's budgetary constraints. But we had to kind of bookend the needs.
Okay, because as I was looking through this, I saw the $900,000, then the $500,000, then the $250,000. I thought, well, where's the $10 one? You know, I guess I was really... what determines our funding?
We get gas tax for streets.
About how much is that?
But it's based on our population, how much gas tax we get. Some years the governor suspends that gas tax or borrows it from us. So although we generally get that paid back to us, but It's in the $170,000 a year. We get funding in the $40,000 to $60,000 a year range for traffic safety type projects. Police uses a lot of that money.
Where does that money come from?
From the state general fund, probably from vehicle licenses. General fund money pays, the city's general fund money pays for some street maintenance. So that money comes from property tax and sales tax. And then we also have a local sales tax, a half-cent Measure Q tax that is distributed on an annual basis to the various departments, and street maintenance is one of the 10,000 of that is personnel costs, with about 25,000 going for supplies, asphalt, usually much of it cold mix and base, and about $95,000 for contract services, because we can't do all the pavement management ourselves. Excuse me. Then through our Measure Q funds, we're funded additionally with about $125,000 this last year, adding to our kind of our savings account for streets, so to speak, because at $100,000, $200,000 a year, it's not going to do very much. And then council budgeted about $140,000 for maintenance projects that we can kind of do in-house, curb gutter sidewalk repairs. Barry's going to talk a little bit later about some cross gutter repairs that we're going to be doing on the north end of town to make sure we can get that water draining out more effectively and hopefully preserve the life that we have in the pavement there. So all total that's where we stand. So we developed various scenarios. Up on the screen right now is the $500,000 scenario, and you can see that there's less area being worked on, and more of the work is focused on the south end and towards pavement preservation. And if you go to the next slide.
Can I add the $500,000 per year is a budget just to maintain the current condition. Anything less than $500,000 will still get degradation of that pavement condition index.
And for those people watching at home who are just seeing colors, they're going to see red and go, wow. And so when you're talking about its upkeep of the better streets in town, so in time we don't have to pay more money, so it's more preventative. So I just want to say that because those of us on the other side of town are going to, some people are going to go, wow, we're really being slighted. So maybe explain that a bit. I know we've kind of touched on it again, but with this slide, maybe say something. Could we?
I guess spread the dollar out, get the biggest bang for the buck, and preserve those streets that are in good condition so that we don't have to spend a lot of money in the future on those streets. Because we know that we're already going to be spending a lot of money on those streets that are poor in the future.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the macro view of this, but sometimes folks can't see the macro, and they can't see the forest because of the trees. So I'm just, want to put that out.
Yeah, I understand. And then the next level would be the $250,000 a year, and you can see it's almost entirely focused in the south end of town. So, I guess
Rob, just to let you know, you're kind of being Bob Barker-ish right now. It's
okay.
Like, all right, the price is right. It's like what you get behind this window for, So
yeah. Unfortunately, our funding picture does not look real good. As far as new money coming in from the state, at this present time. We're probably going to have to rely on our local funds or whatever they go for. We're not 100% sure at this point in time yet. But this plan, what this gives us, is a plan to move forward from. And it gives us a logical approach to maintain the city's pavement system. Now, all this being said, that doesn't mean that we're just going to leave the north end to the wolves and do nothing up there. We still have to maintain all those streets in passable and safe condition. So, yeah, you'll see pothole repairs, but you just won't see that entire systematic overlay or reconstruction of streets up there, especially at the $250,000 a year level. Based on these recommendations that we've given you so far, and realize these will be recommendations to council, and they'll have an opportunity to direct us to do something a little bit different.
Okay, so this recommendation, this plan in its form, which will go forward to be recommended.
What I do is give this some time before we take it to council, maybe a month or two, and then work on, you know, refining this draft to make sure that we've, and, you know, get a draft posted on our, this is already posted on our website as part of this agenda package, but make it easy to get to. And then receive comments from the public for a couple months so that it's fully vetted, and then take it to a council meeting or two to address it with city council. It's this plan has been a long time in the making. The last time was in probably the early 90s that the city had a pavement management strategy, and because of funding issues, there was really, the thought was there's really no need to have a pavement management plan since we're not getting any money to do anything with. That still may be the case, but I still think having a plan to more systematically approach the street system is better than not having a plan at all and doing reactive maintenance. I'm going to turn it over to Barry, management plan. Unless you want to, do you have any more questions at this point in time?
No, I really am appreciative of the plan in its form, and I want to see it move forward simply because I talk to people all the time about this. And I'm glad that there's going to be something where people can go and see. Not necessarily they're going to get the answers that they want or hope that their street's going to be fixed right away, but at least they understand the bigger picture. So I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Start that other slide.
And while Rob's going over there, I'd like to emphasize, especially to those people on the north end of town that don't see anything happening or program for their streets up there, that part of the pavement management plan is a recommendation to create the Green Streets program. And this would be directly applicable to street reconstruction on the north end. And so this is sort of a parallel initiative, starting with a planning phase, and then once you have a plan in place with standards for green streets. Green streets, of course, are streets that are much more environmentally, I guess, more eligible for grant funding. And grant funding would really accelerate possibilities of reconstruction in the north end.
Thanks, Barry.
And what we have, the slide up there now, just shows some of the pavement repair that is going to be taking place in the right here in the near future. I'm working with our streets department to prioritize some of the most distressed intersections in one of the north areas. They're the intersections along both San Jacinto, San Joaquin, and a little bit on Elena and Sequoia. Some of those of you that are familiar with that neighborhood, those intersections are heavily beaten up because of heavy traffic. There's bus traffic over there by the schools. And like we were saying earlier, the humping that takes place when cars come up to a stop sign. So that area is pretty those intersections are pretty beaten up and distressed. And so we plan to have a program of installing cross gutters higher up on San Joaquin and San Jacinto. Already have cross gutters, so it would be an extension of the cross gutter program on down the slope.
So with this project, we're, like Barry said, we're working with our streets maintenance folks and identifying the most high-priority intersections and working with local contractors to perform those repairs. So those you'll be seeing sooner rather than later, so that because... like I said, water is one of the enemies of, especially below the street surface. It really wreaks havoc on the street condition once that water sets there, percolates down to the subgrade, and then you get traffic on it, causes those potholes. And with that, that concludes our presentation for this evening, and look forward to comments from the general public. If they have any questions, then if you have any specific concerns, give us a call.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for that presentation. And for those of you out there watching, I really found it kind of interesting to read the plan. Richard, did you have any comments?
I'm sorry.
I would love to be able to go to the council and get $900,000 in funding for our street system. I just don't think realistically that the fundings is there. Just let me grab something out of. I was just going to give you. Our local Measure Q funds are about, for the total, are about $700,000 a year. And now I had that with me, and it seems to have disappeared. About 200 and $80,000 going to our fire department. Some funds going to our storm drain program, funds going to city communications for a backup generator, and to various other general fund programs. So there's a lot of needs within the city for these funds. The last budget amendment, we allocated some additional funds to our police department out of our Measure Q funding also. So there's a high demand for those funds from various needs, from public safety to streets and storm drains. That was the intention of our local tax, was to fund both public safety and street and storm drain projects. But at $700,000 a year, it's not going to fund everything.
I have one more question before we let you guys go. That in a given cycle, whether it's a year or a five-year plan, they maybe throw a bone to a higher maintenance program within their regular list of programs. And if that makes any sense, maybe it doesn't. I'm looking at the five-year plan for $500,000. Looking in 2011, we have a lot of the south ends of the town streets that we're going to upkeep because they're newer. We want to keep the lifespan on that. Do you foresee, as funding comes back, maybe throwing within those more recent plans maybe a higher need street in that, like each year, maybe giving one high priority street in a cycle?
That is a possibility. That is something we could look at as additional funds become available. You know, I wouldn't expect anything. Right now, the funds that are SLOCOG, our local regional transportation provider, distributes are monies from the state and federal government. And region-wide, we are about, for the next 5 years, several billion dollars in needs over what the funding is available.
Saying as funds become available, given one of these greener programs or grant programs, as those monies if those monies become available in the given year, we would send money as available or to a high need area of town to maybe.
I think that's the whole goal of the Green Streets, as that money comes in, is to backfill some of those major reconstruction-type streets. Because that's what you need to do to implement the Green Streets, is because you need to construct some sort of storm drainage facilities along with it. And there may be too much pavement there to fit that in. You may need to reconfigure the slopes. So you really need to reconstruct the entire street. You're not going to do that in a basically an already built out good condition street. You're not going to.
So how do we see that idea being put into the
that'll be PM. Developing as we develop our planning. If we get a planning grant, we will develop that Green Streets program with that. So that'll be coming back to you.
Okay, so going back out to Morro Bay, that your streets are not just destined for the garbage heap and you're going to wait another 10 years. Moving on. We have nowhere to move on to. We don't have any old business. We do have future agenda items. And keep in mind, folks, our next meeting is in April. So our future agenda item, Rob, do we have any idea of what you folks?
I think it's going to be focused on water is the goal for next time.
Any particular aspect of water? Drinking
I think
it, saving it, conserving it?
Conserving it, water billing.
Are we talking about Dylan bringing the example of?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And then also the conservation program, and I think he has something else planned, and I'm sorry, that's slipped my mind, but it's going to be all water next time.
Water all the time. Okay. And for the that should be very interesting, especially those of you who haven't had a chance or are using our the new city website to look at water billing and your water use. It's very interesting to see what you use over a year. Okay, so that's it for agenda items. Richard, do you have any further comments? All right, then we will adjourn our meeting, and we will talk to you folks in April, on April 21st. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Cut.